Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
We've had some heavy times in our nation just recently, and I got some friends in New Orleans that are packing up, and we see that things like California that just consistently is burning. We see Afghanistan. We see all those, just a heavy time. We see some heavy depression and suicide happening in the military because of our recent pullout. It's just heavy. Just want to pray over our nation. There's a heaviness on America. Let's just pray. Jesus, we just lift up our nation. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would have grace and that you would have favor and that you would help relent the wars, the pestilence, the disease, the uproars, the fires and the storms, the hardships that are upon us. Lord, we just ask you that in the midst of it all, God, that we would turn to you, that you would turn a nation's heart toward you. Lord, we pray that you would lift the oppression and the depression off of military that are turning to suicide and they're turning to substance abuse. Lord, we pray that you would set them free. And Lord, we pray that the church would be an answer. And Lord, we pray that there would be a place for them to come to get loved on and nurtured to encounter you, Lord. Have grace upon these United States of America. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, church family, last week I was loving on my wife as she turned the big bad 41 years old. Took her to Chicago, and we ran around with our kids for three days in the city and had a great time. And so just thank you to Pastor Andrew for stepping in. I've heard awesome things about his message, the word of life, or the bread of life. Also, we had Jake Stroop, the big bad 3-4. Jake had his birthday. Anybody excited about that? No? All right. So anyway, it was just a joy to get away. But I'll tell you, it's a greater joy to come back to be with y'all tonight. Or the this morning. I want to continue on where we've been with the Holy Spirit, and just a quick recap where we've been on our lesson of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We talked about that it's not based upon previous experience. It's not based upon how maybe dad, mom, grandparents experienced it. We need to go to the Word of God, right? And the Word of God is not a menu like a restaurant that we pick off of different items that we like. We just say whatever the kitchen is throwing out is what we say yes to. So whatever the chef in the kitchen is delivering, our response is yes. And so like Gary Hopkins says, he says, never allow your ego to diminish your ability to listen. And might I also add, not just your ego, but also your previous experience to diminish your ability to listen and to learn and to lean into perhaps some new experience that the Holy Spirit would have. Not just our egos, but sometimes previous experience can be our guide and unfortunately can rule over future experience. We say, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we're going to continue to do it. And therefore, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a seat at the table if he's going to do something new. God forbid that would be the heart of the church. And we would say, Holy Spirit, blow our minds again. And do what you do best, even if it's something new. And as Max Lucado said this, he said, the Wizard of Oz says, look inside yourself to find yourself. God says, look inside yourself and find the Holy Spirit. The first will get you to Kansas. The latter will get you to heaven. So take your pick. And so we want to contend to go to another realm, to a heavenly realm where the Holy Spirit is living, breathing, moving, and having his way And that's where the church wants to come into agreement with that God. We then talked about multiple levels that perhaps we all could be experiencing. Level one is you just even haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit, which we're going to dive into Acts chapter 19 today. And they were encountering disciples, those that were following hard after God that had never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Maybe level two, you've had some teaching. Maybe you're young or old in the faith, but you just haven't had a whole lot of teaching on this matter. Maybe level three is you've been in church for years and you claim that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been with the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit are not evident in our life. And then level four, whether you're young, whether you're old, doesn't matter, but you know the Holy Spirit of God intimately. You know what the scriptures say about him. You listen to his voice daily. The fruit of the Holy Spirit are evident, and the power of the Spirit is flowing through your hands, through your voice, and through your life on a regular basis. And so whatever level you find yourself, let's just continue to crescendo to the next level. Let's go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Let's go to another level. That's where we're happening today. If someone doesn't seem to know if they have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, it's fair to assume that they don't have it. If you have it, you should know it. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Give a man an electric shock, and I warrant you, he will know it. But if he has the Holy Ghost, he will know it much more." You will know it if you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You will know it when the presence and the power of God is flowing in your life. You'll know it when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you've got an unction, which means an uncontrollable desire. You have an unction inside of your spirit where you've got to talk, you've got to move, you've got to be in a certain place. Like, I know I've got to be here tonight. I know that I've got to go talk to this person. You know when the Holy Spirit dresses on a man or a woman and he comes up on the inside of them and begins to animate them. And he takes possession of his creation. And the Holy Spirit power of God is flowing through someone's life. You'll know it. You won't be confused by that. And so you're wondering, do I have the Holy Spirit moving in my life? If you've got to ask the question, probably the answer is no. And that's okay. But we can get there. And we can get more of the Holy Spirit going on in our life. We also talked about the different levels that we see in Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel saw this vision of the temple of God and started to flow this river underneath the doors. And as this river started flowing out from the sanctuary, it started encountering the people, and it was at their ankles, and it was ankle deep. And then some, as the waters continued to flow, it went to their knees, and they were knee deep. And as they continued, this river of the Holy Spirit was flowing, it was waist deep and then shoulder deep, and then before long it was over their head to where they could not control themselves. They were then swimming in this river. And it just shows that there are levels of encounter. And so we just want to go to the next level. If you want to say, nope, I'm uninterested in the next level, I would just real quickly do a heart check. Why? Why do I not want more of God? And instead the response should be whatever God has, the answer is yes. And God, more. And so maybe you could just agree with me this morning that you would just say, more, Lord. Just with open hands, maybe even like this open cup. Just like, Jesus, fill up my cup because I leak. And maybe I was baptized with the Holy Spirit back in 1987, but that's been 30 years. God, fill me up. Let me have a fresh filling and encounter with the Holy Spirit. So that's going to be our cry this morning. Here's the passage of scripture that we jumped from was Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And this is John the Baptist talking. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He starts talking about levels. He says, "I baptize you with water, and the purpose of this water baptism is for the purpose of repentance, for the remission of sin, that it would just wash over you." And repentance means I'm walking this way in sin, and I'm going to turn, I'm going to go an opposite direction. The word repentance means a turning away. It means I'm going one way, And I can do a quick pivot. I'm going the opposite way. It says that we do this water baptism for the purpose of repentance. It's level one, maybe. Maybe the first level is giving your heart to the Lord. And then we do this next level of water baptism. He goes, but there's another level. There's another man who's coming. I'm not even a baller like this guy. I can't even touch the dude's sandals, all right? This dude, he has crazy power, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit of God. And he'll baptize you with fire. Now, he's talking in pictures here, okay? He's not talking that we're going to throw each other in fire. But there's going to be such a fiery affection, passion, zeal, a zealous thing that's going to overcome a man where he's dressed in fire. Something's going to happen when you encounter this sort of a baptism. There's another level. And so we want to go a little bit deeper. So check out this is level one of an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And this is Acts chapter 19. You can flip there if you want, but we also have it on the screen. In verse number one, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. I just want to pause right here. He didn't find just random people who had never heard of the Holy Spirit. He didn't just find people who had maybe been to church once or twice. These were disciples, people who had known God, who had been in what they called the way. They were in the way of Jesus. They were in the way of the teachings of the Lord. These were disciples. Had they been anything else, they probably would have been called something else. New believers. These would have been God. These were like, you know, Gentiles that didn't even know who Jesus was. He goes, no, these were disciples. Okay? And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Whenever you had this encounter with Jesus, did you also receive the Holy Spirit? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that fascinating? I don't know that it's necessarily any different than today, although they were pretty fresh out of Jesus being there. Now we're two centuries later, and still the church isn't overly educated on what the Holy Spirit is or does. And so we're following Jesus, we go to church, we're disciples, we're in a life group, we go to men's group, we're in women's group, we're doing it, right? We're the disciples. But are we really fully understanding who this third person of the Trinity is, this Holy Spirit person? The answer for them was no, and perhaps for some of us in the room, it's no as well. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism for repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. I want to talk about this, how there's a transfer of power that can happen from one person to another. Y'all ready? I'm not going to do it, but... Well, maybe. You never know. Who knows? I just want to talk about it to kind of just massage the hearts, massage our minds, and just to see that this is Scripture, okay? That then when there's a laying on of hands, there was a transfer from one man that was cloaked with heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit that shifted from his spirit and his soul through his arms, through his hands, and hit and encountered someone else. And it says, when he laid his hands upon them, they received the power of the Holy Spirit, and then something started happening inside of them to where they get a new language. There's a new tongue. There's a new something that they begin to communicate, and then they start speaking the word of the Lord, which is to prophesy. They're speaking the words of God. Something shifted. There is a transfer of power. We see this often in Scripture. Jesus did it. I've got a few scriptures here. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus heals a little girl. He also heals a woman when he lays hands. Mark chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus heals Jairus' daughter, laying hands on her. Mark 6, 5, Jesus lays hands on people in the crowd and he heals them. We see this in Matthew chapter 9, whenever there's a woman with the issue of blood and she's like clawing, trying to get her way through the crowd, and she just grabs a hold of Jesus' cloak, right, the hem of his garment, and power shifts, not just through a person, it moves through his robe, boom, and hits this woman, and she's healed. There's a transfer. Is that freaky? It's like this fourth dimension. It's like this supernatural faith thing. It's not natural. It's the supernatural thing. Charles Spurgeon said it's like this electric shock, and when you grab it, you'll know it for sure. There's a transfer that takes place. Isn't it fun that God uses people to transfer his power through? He uses skin many times. Anybody you've ever been with someone and, you know, they're sad, and so you console them, and so you put your hand on their shoulder. You're trying to communicate to them the heart of God. We love you, we're for you, this heart of compassion. Maybe someone's crying and you're sitting next to them, and so what do? Physically, there's a physical reaction, so I reach out and I hold their hand because they're crying. And through this holding of the hand, we're hoping that there is this transfer communication thing happening, that we love you and that we're for you and that we're feeling this with you. We do it in many other ways of physical engagement. Why not the physical engagement of a supernatural power that would take place? The power of healing, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of speaking in tongues, the power of prophecy. This stuff is scripture. This is what the Bible would say. Powerful stuff. Drop with me down to Acts chapter 5. We're in 19. I'm going to read Acts 5, and I got it for you here. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Is that bonkers? That's a Greek word. Bonkers means that's crazy. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented with evil spirits, impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Peter was loaded with something, some sort of a juice from heaven, that even his shadow is healing people. Huh? Dennis, is that wild? It is wild. And it's not natural. It's supernatural. There's a transfer that can happen of power when we touch. When we're even through clothes, Jesus' clothes, Peter's shadow. What are you talking about? Now, for some of us, we think that the highest level is like really good church attendance. I'm a Christian and I go to church. I'm like, that is entry level one. You're on page one. And we're so glad that you're at least in the book. You're on page one. But can I invite you? Can we go deeper? That you say, man, I've got the Holy Spirit flowing in my life. Okay, let's see it. Let's see those prayers that are coming to pass. Let's see those people that are laboring in the presence of the Lord. Let's see those that have the power of God transferring and flowing out of their life. Let's see the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in our communities, moving in our churches, moving in your home and in your families. Parents, I want to encourage you, lay your hands on your kids. Begin to pray over them. God, we just release the power of the Holy Spirit over my babies. I touch their minds. God, I ask that you would give them the mind of Christ. And I'm not a neuroscientist, but I know a little bit, and I just pray the little bit that I know, God, like, redo their brain pathways and neurological connections, and you do what you do, God. And I just try to pray over their minds, reshape and reform, give them the mind of Christ, like Romans 12, that they would be renewed. They'd be restored with a renewing of their minds. And I lay my hands upon them. Pray over your spouse. Lay your hands upon them. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to come upon you and transfer. Do a supernatural work of what's going on here and release the Holy Spirit of God. We'll do that sometimes, maybe in our life group, maybe in a men's group. One of the men will say, man, I'm just going through this. All right, everybody around them. And let's lay hands on them, and we're going to believe God for a supernatural touch. And we want to see the Holy Spirit encounter them. You don't have to believe me, but please believe the Bible. And this stuff happens in the Bible often. Maybe you've seen it, and you're like, man, that's just weird. That's just freaky. How does that guy touch people and they're experiencing this power of God? And our experiences will eliminate something really beautiful that God designed. God makes all good things. God is not creating something to abuse you. God is creating some really good things to bless you. And so let's be open to this idea of receiving the Holy Spirit. When someone can pray on us, can lay hands, and believe that there can be this transfer of the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you have ever seen a pastor? Maybe you haven't probably seen it in this church, at least in the last decade, but how many of you seen maybe a pastor on television? And they're going to say, if you'll call this number or you'll send in a request, we'll pray over this handkerchief. And if we pray over this handkerchief, then we'll mail it to you. And then once you grab a hold of the handkerchief, then you're going to be healed. Anybody ever seen that? They're called prayer cloths. They're called prayer handkerchiefs. Maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't. Maybe you laugh at that sort of thing, thinking, that's not even biblical, man. Like, that's not right. Let's read the Bible. Let's see what it says real quick. Drop down to verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched, or that had touched him, were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. What? This is crazy. This is supernatural stuff. This is a man that is walking like Jesus walked, to where even garments and materials and handkerchiefs and aprons and whatever the Bible's explaining here, if they just touched the anointed man, and they were sent to Aunt Lulu, Aunt Lulu's getting healed. What in the world? Hey, Kevin, you got to touch this thing, man. Why? Well, because Paul had it. And if Paul had it, you're gonna get healed. Hey, we know that this guy, he's demon possessed, and he's got evil spirits, impureness, impurity, impure mindset, impure spirits going on inside of him. If Peter's shadow can just walk by, he'll be delivered. Y'all, I'm just saying that there's more, just what I'm saying. There's more to what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's more than whatever we think it is. And I'm not trying to say this to downplay anything, but I just want to say that there are levels, and it's more than just reading the Bible once a month. It's more than just reading the Daily Bread devotional. It's more than just church attendance. There is a power of God that we can walk in. There is an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. How about this? Paul, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul is heading back to Ephesus, okay? And it says he decided to take the interior route. How about the fact that you know what? I think I need to go to the grocery now. And he had an encounter with 12 guys, and he unloads the power of the Holy Spirit. So now there's like 12 other people that are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Paul decided to go the interior route. people, let's check our minds in when we're at Walmart and at Meijer. And you judge me if you want to. God, what aisle's next? Where should I be? When you're so in tune with the Holy Spirit, I just believe that He's going to run people into your life that need to have an encounter with the Lord. That takes Christianity from being just 10 o'clock on Sundays. 10:30. What is it? Now all of a sudden, it's daily. Okay, Holy Spirit, you own my mind. I want the mindset of God. I want to think with the mind of Christ. Okay, I'm going to take the interior route. Ooh, 12 guys that need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And boom, you're there. Why? Because you're in tune and you're listening. And you've been in the presence all week and you're ready for this moment. You don't have to go get ready. No, you live ready. And you live with an anointing. The anointing means to be smeared. The word anointing means smeared with oil. You're just cloaked in it. I mean, you're dripping in the presence of God wherever you go. You're ready to bring life. You're ready to speak here. You're ready to lift heads over here. You're ready to comfort and love on them, right? All of a sudden, we get out of ourselves and we tap into Him. And rather than I'm just frustrated and I'm ticked off and, oh my gosh, I got an ought with Susie and Susie's in aisle three. I ain't going down aisle three. I'm out of here, man. You all know you do it. And you're going out because you're so into yourself and your past pains and frustrations and I don't want to see Susie. And I was like, no, you need to get tapped into the Holy Spirit and let's go engage and encounter. Why are we dipping, ducking, and dodging the very people that we ought to be ministering to? This is a life that's lived in the presence and in the Holy Spirit of God. And I just believe that if we would just live obedient, that God would start blessing. Because I'll tell you, obedience brings the blessing. For me in my house, if my kids are obedient, they get blessed. You don't live obedient, you don't get blessed. You get spankings. It's very simple to live in my house. That's it. It's very simple. I think it's very simple with God. Not the execution. Sometimes the obedience is very tricky and it's tough. But the thought is obey. And it's going to bring the blessing of the Lord. And sometimes the blessing is just more power. It's more anointing. Your words go forth. The Bible says that the words of a wise man are like nails. And they go forth and they stick. Boom. They make an impact. The nails can build and create and have some substance. Sometimes your words, they don't even get past any farther than your toes. They just don't have any life, any power, any unction. But the Holy Spirit coming upon a man or a woman of God, baptized with fire. John Wesley said this. He said, set a man on fire and people will come for miles just to watch him burn. We just need a whole fresh baptism of a passion, fiery God to come upon us again, to where we're locked in and we're focused at a level like this. You keep going in verse 20, and it says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread wildly and it grew. And power. Maybe for a moment you thought that you had this little furry, fun little tail thing, not realizing what you're playing with is connected to a lion. And you're like, oh my gosh. I was kind of just playing around with cool, like, church attendance or something. I thought it was just like showing up and, you know, making, you know, something for the crock pot carry-in. That's what it means to be a Christian. Paul shows up and he says, there's disciples that didn't even know about this. And he goes, we got to change that. We got to change that. And the power of God came. Church families, we continue just to learn more and more that this thing is not just that he forgave me of my sins. No, this thing is being like him and walking this thing out every day. It just starts getting really good. It gets fun. This last Thursday, I had one of the deepest encounters with Jesus in my kitchen. And some of it's super intimate. I won't share all of it, but one little piece of it. I mean, I was so emotional. I'm crying. I'm trying to communicate to Alyssa what's going on. She's like, what is happening? Like, I can't even hardly get the words out. I felt like I had a fresh born again encounter with Jesus. I'm trying to communicate this. Wrigley, like, turned into a therapy dog. He's, like, got his head on my lap. He's like, what's going on, buddy? Are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to. I'll make it. Just need my golden retriever in here close, man. And Jesus gives me this vision, and it's like this out-of-body thing, and I see myself and GP and Granny, I'm at your house. And as you drive into that into the lane and then you turn right and you kind of go back around your house, if you would have just kept going right into the woods there, I'm right there at the edge of the woods there on the southeast side. And I'm walking through the woods with Jesus. And he puts his arm around me, his left arm comes up over my shoulders. And we're walking through the woods, and the touch of Jesus was warming. There was this warmth inside of my heart and inside of my spirit. And it felt like I was being hugged and kind of heavy, like a like an overstuffed comforter around my heart. And it was warm and heavy inside of me, and just his touch. And then we're kind of in that, we're outside of the woods, just on that south side as it begins to curve around there by the cornfield. And we're just walking in that path. And as we're walking, he continues just to hold me and to touch me. And we walk straight into where the old pond used to be back there in the woods, and there was a clearing. Now it's all just kind of cleared. And this encounter with the Lord, Jesus begins just to tell me, he goes, what once was there, this pond, is now gone. But it's not necessarily lost as it's a bad thing. It's totally cleared out for new possibilities. And he begins to show me this vision of what was going on, and so much of it is for me and it's in my heart. But I'll tell you that there's supernatural, there's dreams and visions that the Lord wants to do. He wants to put his arm on you and to touch you and to hold you. He wants to supernaturally create something on the inside of you. He wants to open up heaven so that you can see him, so that you can have an encounter with him. People, please, this is more than you just being a good person or that you got forgiven. Jesus wants to walk in a supernatural way with you, and he wants to encounter people, and he wants the power of God to flow out of our lives every day. So I just want our minds just to open up a little bit more. I want our spirits to open up to new possibilities, that I'm not going to shut him out of my heart because of past experiences or an ego that won't let him go anywhere. Let's just open up these hearts and say, yes, God. Let's open up our hands. We say, more, Jesus. Jesus, I want to feel your touch. I want to get visions. I want to have encounters. I want to have the power of God flowing through me, that when I touch people, when I shake their hands, there's a transition, that when I give hugs, there's an emission of love. I'm emitting the love and the life of Jesus. When I lay my hands on, people are healed. We're just going to ask that the Bible would be active in our lives. And so as we close this morning, I'm just going to hang out up here. And if anybody just has that yes, Jesus in your heart, just come up. And if anybody just says, yes, I just want more of the Holy Spirit, just come on up. We're going to come up to the altar. We're just going to stand and ask Jesus for more. We might come by and pray for you or just lay hands on you, and nothing to be weird, but just to practice some scriptures this morning. If you feel like you're good to go, and then the rest of the whole church congregation is going to be dismissed and you're free to go. And so I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll get ready. But if you're just saying more Jesus, then we're just going to have the altar open this morning. And you can just come down and just believe God for an encounter. So Jesus, we just, as we close here this morning, we're just going to say more. More, Lord. There's got to be more. And so, Lord, we're opening our hearts wide. Maybe we're at level one and we say, what is this, Holy Spirit? I don't know, but I am going to say yes. I don't know, but I am going to say more, Lord. And so with a more Lord heart, we respond. And we just want to come into this holy place where we respond, even at the altar, where we'd say, God, let your power and your presence flow through my life. Give me encounters, Jesus. Let me feel your touch. Let people feel the power of God coming out of my life. And that we would experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And church family, we love you, and we just pray a blessing upon you today. Dismissed to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.